Greetings, salutations, and welcome to Hope Walks Into a Bar Looking for Change, a podcast on a fossil fuel-free journey around the United States in search of hope. Today we are in the Salad Bowl of the United States, Salinas, California, where StoryCorps is in town to collect and archive the stories of our nation. What follows is an interview with Whitney Kidney Lester, a site supervisor and facilitator for the StoryCorps. Find out today what it takes to tour the country for a year, collecting stories, and being an NPR superstar.
Oh, God.
What's the mission? I know you went through it so fast, I have a feeling you...
Yeah, completely forgot. Our official mission is to honor and celebrate one another's lives through listening. So we encourage people to sit down with a loved one and interview them about their lives and record their personal stories and history so that future generations can benefit from those stories and they're not lost.
Okay. And when did the organization start? How did it start?
5 years ago in 2003. It was started by Dave Isay. He's a radio documentarian. And he had done a radio piece in which he gave, like, two 13-year-old boys recorders mm-hmm. to record their life, and they lived in a housing project on the south side of Chicago.
Oh, wow.
He made a radio piece out of that, but he realized that, you know, those recordings that they made would never be more important to anyone other than them and their family, and mm-hmm. he wanted to give everyone the opportunity to do that.
And how were you personally drawn to this organization?
Well, I had been working in documentary film and then sort of started listening to radio and finding things like StoryCorps and realizing that, you know, just the audio had as much of an emotional impact on me as audio and mm-hmm. video, which I was really mm-hmm. surprised about. But when I found StoryCorps, I just thought that they were it's an amazing meld of documentary work without taking something away. Mm. It's like documentary work for the subjects that you're documenting. Uh-huh. I mean, we all can benefit from the recording.
Great. And I hear everyone say, you know, I love listening on Friday mornings and hearing the stories. And like you were saying, people always mention how, you know, emotionally touched they tend to be.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, I mean, I imagine you must collect lots and lots of stories. So what for you makes, you know, when you're listening, what tells you this is a great story, this should be on the air?
I was thinking about that when you asked it before. I mean, it's as simple as humans connect with humans. I mean, we all sort of have the same sort of shared experiences, and we connect to each other's stories about that. So it's as facilitators, we're listening for things that we're naturally emotionally connected to.
Mm-hmm.
And there is certainly something in every story that would be interesting to people, but I think we're also listening for stories that can be cut down to 2 or 3 minutes, fit that format
mm-hmm.
for broadcast on NPR.
And as far as Salinas goes, what other stories have you documented that you found particularly interesting or intriguing?
We have had a lot of great stories in Salinas. I only facilitate 1 or 2 days a week, so I haven't heard as many as the facilitators. We've had some kids from La Paz Middle School come in with, like, parents. Like, they're doing a project on oral history and history in general and
mm-hmm.
different ways to capture that. And they've come in with some of their parents, which
uh-huh.
has been really nice to see young people involved
yeah.
in it. And... now, today, I mean, we've had a few Ohlone tribes come
mm-hmm.
in, and,
mm-hmm.
and that's been really interesting because I didn't know anything about California Native American tribes.
Yeah, neither did I until I was talking with Louise.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. And we've had some people from the California Rodeo. And one interview I remember, they'd been on the same farm for 6 generations.
Oh, wow.
And that's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you find that very much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was really cool.
In terms of your kind of travel time, how long do you typically spend in each place? How long, I guess, I can't think of the right phrase, but how long is like your tour of duty?
Yeah, it's a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're obligated to be on the road for a year. I'm on the road all the time, and the facilitators, there are 3 of us, there are 2 facilitators and me, and they sort of alternate between stints on the road and then some time in the office in New York,
mm-hmm.
And we're in each stop for about 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, okay. American Folklife Center, is that through the Library of Congress?
Yeah, that's I don't know if it's a building or what. It's a special section of the Library of Congress where they archive a lot of oral histories and folklife sort of stuff.
Because, you know, there's a Vermont Folklife Center also.
I know.
And they only do Vermont, and I was thinking, you know, Monterey, I don't understand why we don't have something like that here, because, you know, I'm sure you've noticed there's so much history here, but
yeah.
there's no record of that, so I think... one of the great things that StoryCorps does is really record those stories?
Well, luckily, this is sort of a new thing for us, but we started to create local archives. So there's going to be an archive of all the stories recorded in Salinas here at the Steinbeck Center,
which
is really cool.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have to go to Washington, D.C. and go to Library of Congress and hear it. It's actually for the community that it's created in, which is really cool.
And in terms of, you said, so the session with Elise wasn't a typical session.
Right.
So can you describe what is a typical session and what's your role in a session?
Okay. Well, it's two people who know each other come in. It could be someone you know really well, like your mom, or it could be, you know, someone who delivers your mail, anyone that you want to know a little bit more about. And, I mean, some people, saying that wasn't a typical StoryCorps interview says that there is one, which there really isn't. But, I mean, some people do it as a really formal, structured interview where they sit down, they have their questions, and they start with, you know, when and where were you born, and they end with, you know, how do you want to be remembered kind of thing. But some people just chew the fat for 40 minutes, and some people don't even talk about their life. They talk about their opinions, which I think is also really interesting because it sort of tells us who we are here and now today. So, yeah, I mean, that's the typical interview. It's very broad, but it generally is two people, 40 minutes. Those are the main constrictions.
How do you see these stories being used or documented or looked at 50 years from now?
That's a really good question and really exciting for me. Well, right now, you have to go to the Library of Congress to listen to them, and I don't think that will be the case always. I think that they'll be more easily accessible to more people in the future. I don't know when, but when that happens, I think that the doors are wide open. I mean, I think this could be used for so many research purposes, for linguistic research, for history research, for, I don't know, history of a place, of a people, an age group, anything. But also just gives us access to our grandmother's story if we want it, you know, our kids, my kids. I mean, I've done so many interviews, and my kids can go and we'll be able to hear me talking in 2009. I don't know. I think it's cool. It's endless. I don't really know.
Well, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
No worries.